This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Cavster.com and Dogster Magazine. Right, on today's episode of All About Pets, we'll start with Cavster.com like we normally do. And we'll start with an article about cat training by Rita Reimers. 6 Simple Rules That Stop Begging. Shadow was a young adult cat when she was rescued by her human, Nikki, from a trailer park where stray and feral cats gathered. Since kittenhood, Shadow lived in that park, scrounging for scraps from dumpsters and begging residents for food. Once she was brought inside, Shadow had all the food she wanted, but she remained food-obsessed due to previous lack of resources. One time, as Nikki was eating chicken, Shadow literally took the chicken out of Nikki's mouth. 6-month-old Dexter was found on my porch a few months ago, and he did not look as if he had missed any meals. What did become apparent was his lack of indoor social skills, including the fact that it's downright rude to step onto his human's dinner plate to sneak a taste. Break the begging pattern. Non-medically related food obsession in cats is often caused by an experience with limited food sources while living outside or a lack of social training. But this isn't the only reason some cats beg. No matter the reason, food obsession and begging for and/or stealing food can be stopped by following these simple rules. 1. Clear your counter. Any food left out on the counter is fair game, and you may find a cat has taken a bite out of it. I have a friend who made a batch of muffins, left them on the counter to cool, and later found a bite mark on each and every muffin. 2. Feed the cats first. Feed your cats just before you sit down to eat. Even if it's just a few treats, giving them something to eat should distract them from your dinner plate. If they are busy with their own goodies, they'll be less interested in what you have. 3. Refrain from plate feeding. Speaking of what's on your plate, feeding your cat from your dinner plate is a recipe for disaster. Cats will keep begging if fed from your plate because a payoff was received in a yummy treat. The begging will be much harder to control once your cats get into this bad habit. 4. Ignore the behavior. For relentless cats who keep trying to eat your food, gently put them down on the floor without making eye contact or even saying a word. You may have to repeat this step many times in a row as they pop back up like a jack-in-the-box, but eventually no payoff equals no begging. Cats don't repeat behaviors for which there is no reward. 5. Put cats in another room. When all else fails, put your cats in another room at your mealtime. Give them a few treats and some self-play toys and let them be out of your sight during your mealtimes. Then start a counter conditioning to take the allure away from your dinner plate. 6. Counter conditioning. Stop your cat's begging habit by taking away the power of your own food routines. For example, if you like to snack at night and your cat wants what's in that potato chip bowl, get them used to seeing the bowl empty while you watch TV. Soon the bowl will mean nothing to your cats and you'll be able to fill it with your own treats without finding a cat nose in it. Give your cats a snack as you sit down with your potato chips. After all, everyone likes to snack while they watch television. Banish boredom. Anxiety and boredom may also cause a cat to become food obsessed. Give your cat both playtime and snuggle time every day. Providing self-play toys, cat trees, window perches, and other interesting things to do whenever they're home alone will help alleviate boredom and discourage food obsession. Follow these steps and your mealtimes will become peaceful instead of battleground with your feline family members. Rule out medical conditions. If your cat seems unnaturally hungry all the time, a visit with your veterinarian is in order, especially if the cat's losing weight. The following conditions can cause cats to act constantly ravenous: diabetes, thyroid disease, parasites. Conditions like pica and psychogenic eating disorder might trigger aggression around food with both humans and other cats. Only your veterinarian can diagnose and treat these diseases. So Rita Reimers, a little bit more about her, and Linda Hall are the co-founders of the Cat Behavior Alliance, offering a unique duo approach to cat behavior correction. Visit them at catbehavioralliance.com for more information. You can also find Rita and Linda on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Cat Behavior Alliance. Next, we'll read about Cat Hotel and Spa by Annie Sheriffs. The Happy Cat Hotel and Spa is not a cattery or kennel. It's a luxurious and enriching hotel for cats. The brainchild of Chris and Meg Ramo, whose previous business venture was a house called Animal Service that offered dog walking and pet sitting services, Happy Cat Hotel and Spa isn't your ordinary boarding service. It features individually themed premium rooms, full days of enrichment, like common areas, a variety of amenities like common areas for playtime, special needs services, daytime lounge areas and sunbeds, wall climbing systems, hammocks, couches, beds, toys, games, TV, and much more. There's even a gift shop. Chris, who calls himself CPB, Chief Believer in Possibility of Happy Cat, realized there wasn't a business model serving cats. Lumping cats in with dog care is like growing grapes in an apple orchard, he says. Just because you have the space doesn't mean you have the expertise and knowledge to manage two completely different pet care disciplines. The hotel is an instant success, and Chris never gets tired of reactions. I love when people come into tour, drop off their cat, and they act like there's in another world because it's nothing like they've seen before. It continues to evolve. I love developing new floor plan and room designs, testing new products and platforms for the cats, and putting the best ideas to work in the system. The best part, the cats themselves, of course. I find felines to be such amazing, fascinating, and sophisticated creatures, capable of so much more than they get credit for, Chris says. They continue to dispel the myths perpetrated against them for so long. Ultimately, Chris and Meg would like to see Happy Cat hotels and spas change the way people think about cats all over the country. We think the best way to achieve this is through franchising, Chris says. Ready to pounce on the opportunity to disrupt what we call the catus quo. The hotel has three locations, Windsor and Great East Granby, Connecticut, and Alexandria, Virginia. Plus, franchise opportunities are available. You can learn more about thehappycathotel.com, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also check out its podcast at happycatfranchising.com/podcasts and look Happy Cat Hotel and Spa up on YouTube for fun cat videos. Next, Arden Moore. Have an article about cat food and cat treats. Eat your age. Imagine if the only food available to you were peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Even if you did love PB&Js, you would probably be sick of them, making mealtime more boring than welcoming. You really are what you eat, and so is your cat. Like you, your cat needs and deserves a quality diet that adjusts to meet his ever-changing health needs. After all, food is fuel and variety is valuable. Selecting the right foods and supplements can help you and your cat age well. For any species, including cats and people, the nutritional needs will vary based on their life stages and their health conditions, says Dr. Lindsay Bullen, a board-certified veterinary nutritionist at Blue Pearl Veterinary Specialty Hospital in Cary, North Carolina. And the nutrient needs are impacted by how active a cat is. Because every cat is unique and every life stage has different nutritional needs, your cat will not be okay with eating one diet for his entire life. Updated life stages. Today, veterinarians identify these five life stages for felines. 1. Kitten, birth up to 1 year. 2. Young adult, ages 1 to 6 years. 3. Mature, ages 7 to 10 years. Senior, older than 10 years. End of life, geriatric cats. Each stage presents its own food needs and challenges based on the cat's health and other factors. The good news is that the American Animal Hospital Association, AAHA, and the American Association of Feline Practitioners, AAFP, updated their feline life stage guidelines as well as guidelines for senior cats in 2021. Each cat is an individual, but the AAHA and AAFP life stage guidelines serve to factor in a cat's age, health condition, lifestyle habits, and much more. This is Dr. Hazel Carney, a board-certified veterinary behaviorist who served on the AAHA-AAFP task force. We have gained so much knowledge of cats since our original guidelines came out in 2010. All felines of all ages require protein, specifically, and 11 amino acids to thrive. A diet should be based on cat's age, reproductive status, weight, activity level, presence of disease, and any future possible health concerns. Let's take a closer look at the nutritional needs of cats through the five life stages. Kitten. Kittens between 3 and 5 weeks old can be transitioned onto commercially balanced kitten foods. By 10 weeks of age, when kittens become quite active, They need to consume more than twice the number of daily calories than a feline who is 10 months old. Spaying and neutering can be linked to excessive weight gain during this stage. Measure out mealtime portions to growing kittens to help prevent weight gain. A young kitten needs a different calcium and phosphorus ratio, say a senior cat who has kidney issues. This is also the ideal age to help your feline develop a diverse palate so he does not become a fussy eater. A cat's willingness as to what he eats is based on what he's exposed to eat within his first 6 months, says Dr. Carney on staff at the West Vet Emergency and Specialty Center in Garden City, Idaho. This is the time to introduce your youngster to shreds, pate, whole meat, freeze-dried vegetables, and more. This way, if you run out of your cat's favorite food, he'll be more apt to eat other types. Dr. Bullen adds, I'm a huge fan of rotational feeding because if your cat ever develops a food allergy, needs to be hospitalized or put on a prescription diet, he is more apt to accept the new food and not go on hunger strike. Adult. Once your feline becomes a young adult cat, it's time to factor in your cat's health status, activity level, if spayed or neutered, and be weighed regularly. Working with your veterinarian, you can adjust the amount your cat eats to maintain an ideal body condition. Overweight and obese cats can be at greater risk for such chronic health conditions as diabetes, osteoarthritis, urethral obstructions, and some types of skin diseases. Dr. Carney says this is why it's important to not free feed your young adult cats, but rather feed them out measured meals twice a day. This gives you a baseline to share with your veterinarian, especially if you don't know why your cat is suddenly gaining or losing weight. Mature, senior, and geriatric. Once cats turn 7 and enter the mature adult cat stage, it's a good time to have another chat with your veterinarian on their dietary needs and amount of food they should eat to avoid being overweight or underweight. As a cat ages, his ability to digest and absorb nutrients changes, and in general, it declines. Dr. Carney says, 1/3 of cats can absorb or digest protein as well as age 13 than they could do at 6 or 7. So for senior cats and older, in order to maintain their weights, we need to give them easier to digest nutrients and more of them. Cats earning senior status may develop some digestive issues as well as health issues that can include kidney disease, diabetes, obesity, hypothyroidism, and osteoarthritis. They may need to be properly transitioned to a new diet, which may be prescribed by veterinarians to best tackle a specific health concern. At this stage, the debate over adding more protein or reducing protein in meals revs up. This is definitely a hot topic among veterinarians, Dr. Carney says. Over time, we have learned that it is more about what protein is available, how digestible it is, and the calcium to phosphorus ratio in those protein sources. We have also learned that total protein restriction is not beneficial, especially in cats in early renal function stages. She adds, what we know now is that in order for a cat to maintain his best weight and structure, he needs to eat a certain level of protein per pound per day. Cats need to eat an increased number of calories as they age in order to maintain their weight. Cats identified as pre-diabetic or in the early stages of diabetes benefit from being fed a high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet. This is based on findings in recent studies. Cats are not designed metabolically to process carbohydrates well, Dr. Carney says. Cats who tend to eat a lot of carbohydrates become obese. In felines of all ages, drinking enough water to stay hydrated is vital to overall health. That's where wet food comes into play for older cats. Younger cats do much better on dry food than older cats who need additional water because they naturally dehydrate as they age. Cheers to seniors. Most cat food brands have expanded their lines to include diets for life stages, particularly seniors. Here are just a few examples of diets that specifically meet the needs of our sensational seniors. Royal Canin, Tiki Cat, Purina Pro Plan. So you want to learn more about the AHAA, AFP life stage guidelines, you can view the entire 22-page AAHA, AAFP feline life stage guidelines by going to aaha.org. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine, and on the subject of food, we'll move to an article for The Vet Is In by Dr. Ernie Ward, Is Your Dog Fat? Ever had the feeling that whatever you say next is going to make things worse? This is one of those times. So you're saying my precious little Luna is fat? How dare you call her obese? Dr. Ward, I'm so surprised at you. For the record, I hadn't uttered the word fat, obese, or much of anything. I had wordlessly pointed to the body condition chart, well, all the way to the far edge of the chart, to indicate that Luna's current body shape corresponded to obesity. Sure, maybe we both put on a little extra weight during all this COVID mess, but we're not fat. Again, I never said fat, and I refrain from using it unless referring to macronutrient adipose tissues or stacks of cash in a gangster movie. Fat facts. The facts about pet obesity are alarming. My organization, the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention, APOP, has been tracking the weight and body condition of America's pets for 16 years, and the numbers are too large. Our 2018 nationwide veterinary clinic survey, the 2020 survey has been delayed until 2022, found that about 60% of cats and 50% of dogs were classified as overweight or had obesity. That equals to an estimated 56 million cats and 50 million dogs at risk for weight-related disorders such as diabetes, arthritis, kidney disease, high blood pressure, and many forms of cancer. Health is a good place to start. Excess adipose tissue, fat, creates serious risks for dogs. As a veterinarian who has dedicated the past 20 years to researching and treating pet obesity, I want you to understand it's the excess fat tissue that's the problem, not a number on the scale. Even as little as an extra pound of abdominal fat on your dog produces a limitless supply of potentially harmful chemicals and hormones, adipose cytokines. These pro-inflammatory secretions cause damage to the pancreas, kidneys, joints, and practically every tissue and organ in the body. This is why excess weight, actually excess fat, as we've learned, puts your pet in peril. When I looked at Luna, the lovely Labradoodle who gained 4 pounds since our last visit, I didn't see fat or even obesity. I see chronic inflammation. Those potentially triggering weight terms often interfere with my duty to fight disease and improve quality of life for my pet patients, so I avoid them. Keep track of weight. To keep Luna healthy, energetic, and free from pain, I need to mitigate invisible inflammation throughout the body. The easiest and safest way we know to do this is by eliminating excess fat, particularly in the abdomen. As a matter of convention, when your vet says, Boris needs to lose a few pounds, she's probably referring to losing a few pounds of extra adipose tissue. When I or any veterinary professional says weight loss, we should be more specific and say excess fat loss. Maybe because that's a mouthful or potentially confusing to dog owners, I hope you'll forgive me if I say lose weight as a shortcut to lose fat. Which leads us to identifying excess fat on your dog. The first step is, you guessed it, weigh your dog regularly. A dog's body stores excess energy as fat tissue, so it's a safe bet that an otherwise healthy dog who gained 4 pounds probably gained most of that as fat. You can safely pick up and weigh your dog. You can get a good idea of how your dog's weight is trending monthly. Spotting weight trends early is essential to avoiding excessive weight gain. In addition, if you regularly weigh your dog, you're more likely to spot inexplicable weight loss early, a common finding in dogs with cancer. Next, you can consult the breed weight charts on the petobesityprevention.org website or refer to the American Kennel Club, AKC, and other breed standards. Mixed breeds can be tricky, so get your vet team involved to help. Your vet will use a body condition score, BCS, and perhaps a muscle condition score, MCS, to better gauge if your pooch is at a healthy composition. This is basically a subjective assessment of body fat percentage and is a helpful tool for tracking progress over time. At home, you can also perform a modified BCS by consulting the charts and performing a few simple tests. First, you should be able to easily feel and count your dog's ribs when you run light your fingers across the side. If you can't easily feel those smooth bones, that's a sign your dog is probably carrying extra weight. Next, when you look down on your pet from above, you should see an hourglass figure or an indentation near the midsection. If your pet looks like a blimp from above, he's probably overweight or has obesity. Finally, when you observe your dog from the side as he stands, you should see a slight tuck or upward slope of the tummy. If the abdomen hangs low and drags near the ground, that indicates the most dangerous and biologically active form of fat, abdominal fat, is present. Time to get professional help. Creating a diet plan. For weight loss, therapeutic diets remain the safest and most proven method to reduce fat. The problem with cutting calories by simply feeding less is you risk reducing essential nutrients, creating additional problems to an already inflamed physiology. A dog can safely lose 1 to 3% of his body weight per month. Your vet will coach you through a diet and exercise program that meets his body's needs. Take stock of the treats you're giving. Many of these calorie grenades pick an awful lot of energy into an irresistible flavor bomb. Try switching to wholesome, low-calorie veggies like baby carrots, sliced cucumbers, or zucchini, broccoli, celery, or any crunchy greens that charm your canine. Exercise is important, but the majority of fat loss begins and ends at the food bowl and treat jar. In general terms, canine weight loss is about 70% diet and 30% activity. Aim for at least 20 to 30 minutes of walking or structured play daily. Finally, health is a journey. Losing excess fat tissue takes time. Stay on the weight loss path your vet maps out, and you'll be rewarded with a healthier and happier doggo. It's time to roll the dialogue dice with Luna's mom. Instead of using words such as fat or obese, let's switch to healthy or anti-inflammatory. My goal is to help prevent diseases caused by chronic inflammation Luna's extra adipose tissue is creating. I'll design a step weight loss plan for Luna with daily calories, physical activities, and plenty of healthy treats. So does that sound good to you? So you're saying she's not fat? Now you know why I don't gamble. Next, we'll move on to an article titled Today's Pet Food Recalls by Neri Tan. What you need to know to do to keep your pet safe. If you go to the FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine website, you'll find dozens of pet food recalls just from the past year. For example, in 2021, media organizations across the country reported that the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, said that more than 130 deaths in dogs occurred and hundreds of others' pups got sick after eating pet food from one manufacturer. The pet food maker had received a warning letter from the FDA after inspections revealed apparent violations of federal law that were shared across its plants. The company issued a voluntary recall of specific expiration dates of certain dog and cat food brands because they had potential to be contaminated with salmonella. Most, thankfully, aren't as serious as that case, but it highlights the fact that knowing how to respond to recalls and how to find out about them are necessary for the responsible pet owner. Recalls and what to do. So how do pet products get recalled, and how can you ensure that your dog doesn't fall victim to problematic or tainted pet food? Recalls are when a product is considered by the FDA to be in violation of its laws, says Ann Norris of the FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine. It automatically initiates legal action. She says recalls happen in three ways. The company pulls the product on its own after realizing problems, by formal FDA request, or by an FDA order under the agency's mandatory recall authority. Ann says that recalls are classified into three categories. Class one is a situation where there is a strong likelihood that use or exposure to a product will cause serious health consequences or death. Class 2 is when a product may cause temporary or medically reversible health issues, or where the probability of a serious consequence is remote. Class 3 is a situation where the product in question is not likely to cause adverse health consequences. Dana Brooks, who is president and chief executive officer of the nonprofit Pet Food Institute, PFI, says the FDA has never forced a mandatory recall. The PFI is made up of members who are pet food and treat manufacturers throughout the United States. Most recalls happen when a company identifies a problem in the manufacturing process that can lead to an issue, such as a mislabeled product or ingredient imbalance, she says, pointing out that most pet food makers have a safety plan that regularly evaluates and identifies safety hazards that have a potential to occur, such as bacterial contamination due to salmonella or E. coli. Getting recall information is easy. With the World Wide Web at our fingertips, it's never been easier to know about pet food recalls. The FDA works with industry and state partners to publish press releases and other public notices to try to get information to pet owners in a timely manner. The government agency only announces Class 1 or Class 2 recalls to the public. Luckily, the FDA makes it easy to find out the latest in recalls. You can go sign up on its website to get email alerts. When it comes to the manufacturers themselves, Dana says, they're required to publicly share when a cat or dog food is recalled, which means they must contact their ingredient suppliers, distributors, retailers, and any customers in their database. If your dog's food is recalled, if you find out your dog's food or treats have been recalled, government experts say to immediately stop feeding the product and make sure you check the lot number and UPC code on the label to confirm if your specific bag is part of the recall. All recalls on the FDA website list exact UPC codes and lot codes. If it is, watch your dog closely for any symptoms. Dog food symptoms from food poisoning are much like humans. Vomiting, diarrhea, lethargy, fever, dehydration, nausea, and occasional blood. This can be life-threatening, especially in dogs who are very young, old, or who have compromised immune systems. PFI experts also suggest calling the pet food company directly for advice on what to do next. The retailer where you purchase the food should also have information on how to handle the recall and your concerns. Be an advocate for your pooch. Of course, you don't have to wait for a recall if you're concerned about the pet food you purchased. Dana says most of her members welcome customer complaints and concerns on any topic, including issues like unsealed packaging, strange smells, or symptoms your dog exhibits after eating the product in question. When a food doesn't meet expectations, the information helps them identify trends and possible issues with food safety, she says. It helps them improve product quality. If you find that the company is not responsive, the FDA has a page on its website where consumers and veterinarians can submit concerns about pet food products, which FDA officials investigate. www.safetyreporting.hhs.gov. Some things you can do at home, particularly in regard to reducing bacteria infection, is to inspect the packaging, can, bag, or other to make sure it hasn't been damaged or opened in any way. Wash your hands, clean the food preparation area before and after use, and always wash your dog's food and water bowls regularly. Refrigerate leftover wet food and make sure dry food is sealed and put away. You don't want mice, insects, or your dog to be able to get into it. Pet food recall facts. Since the beginning of 2018, the FDA has recalled 134 brands of pet food with 19 recalls since the beginning of 2021. The numbers have remained steady each year, even though the pet food market is exploding with more and more brands hitting store shelves. The recalled manufacturers involved range from some of the most well-known foods and companies to lesser-known smaller brands. And looking at FDA data, many of the recalls are due to salmonella and listeria contaminants as well as elevated levels of vitamin D. Sterility issues are also cited as a factor. Many of the recalls were initiated by the companies themselves. Dana believes transparency is a requirement for manufacturers in the pet food industry. With a more knowledgeable consumer base and the humanization of pets as family members, pet owners are increasingly wanting more information and assurances from their favorite brands, she says. Manufacturers have to talk about their food safety culture to make pet owners feel confident when they set out at the bowl at mealtime. As dog owners, officials with the FDA say we have the right to expect the food that we're feeding our pets is safe. After all, it's the least we can do to help ensure our furry family members live long, healthy, happy lives. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.